Well, we were following, and you may have been as well, the attack in Kabul that lasted for 19 or 21 or 20 hours. There are at this point no reports that either any U.S. or NATO officials were hurt or killed, but seven Afghans died and 17 more were injured. Joining us now from Kabul is Bilal Sawari, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Bilal, we have word from the American ambassador to Afghanistan that he blames the Pakistan-based Haqqani network. Is there a confirmation of that?
Well, Afghan intelligence officials were first to say that last night. Afghan officials were saying that SIM cards recovered at the site showed contacts to Pakistan's Waziristan in other cities. So they specifically blamed the Haqqani network, which, according to Afghan and Western intelligence officials, has a very close working relationship with Al-Qaeda, but also with Pakistan's military intelligence, the ISI, and the Pakistani army.
Bilal, I'm wondering, is it true there were only six attackers? Why did it take 19 or 20 hours to subdue six attackers?
Well, the building itself, I just had a visit in the last hour or so, is very complicated. It's 14 stories. There are many rooms. There are many places one could hide there. And it's a very potent building, if I could put it that way. It's also a building that's located from all four directions inside a residential area. So unlike the Intercontinental Hotel, unlike other areas, you cannot fire into the building as you want to.
That was Bilal Sawari, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. We spoke with him earlier this morning. To put this in context, we want to turn now to a conversation with Christine Fair, professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. We spoke with her earlier this morning, and I started by asking whether she would describe this attack as a show of strength on the part of the Taliban to launch an offensive in central Kabul on the U.S. embassy.
Well, I would actually say it probably describes the involvement of Afghan security forces in facilitating this attack. It's pretty difficult to imagine how they would have gotten all of these munitions, including RPGs, into a building in proximity to NATO headquarters. I mean, there is a fairly tight security perimeter. There's a lot of checking as you get into the vicinity of the NATO ISAF headquarters, as well as the embassies that are in that compound. So it's pretty hard to imagine how they did this without some sort of complicity of Afghan forces. And, you know, there have been questions raised about the time that it took to actually clear these guys from the area. So I think it actually raises a lot more questions about the assistance they might be getting from within the Afghan National Security Forces rather than something about their brute confidence.
Wow, interesting. So you're saying that you can't imagine at this point that they did this without the help of the Afghan security forces, and it took 19 hours to actually bring this whole thing to an end.
Yeah, I mean, this is the question that it raises for me. I remember in the 80s in Pakistan, there was a really horrific siege on the U.S. embassy. And remember, this wasn't a siege on the U.S. embassy per se, right? This isn't a case where the security perimeter of the U.S. embassy was breached. They were perched from a six-story-ish building in the vicinity of the embassy from which they were able to launch RPG attacks and so forth from that particular building. So in the case of the attack on the U.S. embassy in Pakistan, General Zia then was very slow in dealing with it, given that it takes like a half an hour in those days from military vehicles to have reached the embassy from where they would have been positioned. And that raised a lot of questions about the complicity in that attack. So for me, this is how I frame this particular issue.
We're speaking with Christine Fair, professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. You know, it also appears that these fighters in this siege were going perhaps not for maximum casualties, but for the maximum amount of chaos that could be caused and the ultimate amount of doubt in their own security among the Afghan people living in Kabul and around Afghanistan. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, look, this is where the insurgents have a definite advantage because the bar for winning for an insurgent is very different for counterinsurgents. For counterinsurgents, the bar is always the same. Deny the insurgents the ability to disrupt the government, decisively defeat them, and so forth. For the insurgents, all they have to do is demonstrate that they can episodically wage an attack like this, right? So counterinsurgents have to have this steady bar of success constantly applied to them. The insurgents can declare victory by popping up and doing something like this. And so this is an inherent advantage that insurgents have. And it's obviously important to note that the only people that were killed were Afghans. Because the U.S. Embassy is so heavily fortified, because the NATO headquarters are so heavily fortified, there are bunkers throughout the whole place. And that's where many of the personnel, you know, passed a long time, actually are in those bunkers. So the only people that were killed by this were Afghans. And it's too bad that none of the media coverage actually show you a map. But outside of Fortress NATO and Fortress America, you have Afghan vendors, you have a traffic circle with a lot of Afghan traffic. And so I think the point that you made was right. They probably had no expectations that they were going to be able to kill that many foreigners. But they knew that given the, especially if they had complicity from the Afghan forces, that this was going to endure for several hours, that would constantly attract media attention, and that would really terrorize the Afghans in the neighborhood, who, after all, don't have secure bunkers to go to. But this is an artifact of the simple point that the insurgents need to do far less to show victory. They only have to show that we can't decisively defeat them. And that's actually a fairly low bar to meet.
Christine Fair, professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, spoke with us earlier this morning trying to put some context on yesterday's attack on the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, among other buildings. Afghan authorities said early this morning all attackers have been killed.